Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everyone, to this last August show in 2018. It is the 26th of August on a Sunday evening, past after 9 p.m., and it's time for another voyage in your mind, another interesting discussion of perspective. Yeah, sometimes I have guests on, too, but this is an emerging forest. Coming at you from Haddon Township, New Jersey, east coast of the United States, within the shadow of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And tonight, or through the past week, or just in general, I was thinking about the topic I could talk about tonight, and I guess I arrived at talking about challenges. And when I actually started thinking about challenges, there's sort of where I can think about my personal arc and how I went from where I was and how my perspective was challenged and challenged again and again and again, and changed again and again and again as a result of thinking and new information and rethinking, and then simplifying and looking at the simpler picture. So I was raised in a modest, reasonably academic household, and the only model of accomplishment that meant anything to me was my father's PhD and him being a professor at the vet school at the University of Penn. My mom was actually smarter than he was. And just being in that household, I just felt it was natural to go to college, and I just felt it was natural to go to graduate school. I didn't think anything of it. It was unusual. So when the time came to go to the next step, I didn't consider another path. I just did this thing. And after graduate school, which I finished at the University of Penn, just across the river from where I am now, for the PhD in chemistry in 1994, in 1996, I got a job offer, working as a defense contractor in the Princeton area. And in 2004, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And something started to stress me in my life. And it was just a vision of continuing to do what I was doing, continuing to be this person who went to work Monday through Friday and then went, drove down the highway and visited my mom over the weekend, helped her take care of her yard, and then commuted back to the Princeton area. And what got to me was the question was basically saying, is this it? Is this everything? You know, is this fulfilling? It wasn't even, was this fulfilling? It was, is this it? And that basically, that question and the stress that followed it basically was, I mean, it was the mind. It was the mind being unsatisfied that caused me to have a nervous breakdown, have a health issue. And then exploring first meditation, which was not fulfilling, yoga, which was not fulfilling, or was not my path. I'm not saying it's not fulfilling for other people. It's fulfilling for other people. It was not something that I stuck with because it was not fulfilling to me at that time. And then going and basically placing myself in the position with respect to the law that I was not prepared for, challenging myself. Not consciously doing this, but being maneuvered by my soul and being put into a position which I, of course, should have known better, but I didn't know better, or at the time I was blind, or at the time I was walking a path. And then coming back from where I was to help care for my mom in the last years of her life. And so all of these things resulted in challenges, and all of these things resulted in growth and drastic changes in how I looked at the world, and continual drastic changes. But the drastic changes that happened to me was a drastic change between not really giving myself credit and not really caring about myself and not really caring about what I wanted above all others, to knowing that my path is the most important path to me. Other people's paths are the most important to them, and I can help other people, but long term, the road I walk is my path, and that's the one that I need to accomplish. While I can certainly accomplish other people's paths, I think that my path has been neglected for a long time, so it's something that I really want to take up. So tonight's program is about challenges, and I want to talk about two types of challenges. There are some types of challenges which you will be completely prostrated by. Literally, you will have a single issue on your mind, and it will be only thing on your mind, and it will be the only thing you think about, and you will not act in any other way, do any other thing unless absolutely necessary. And I'll give you an example of that. My mom transitioned or went to her next life on the 3rd of January 2013. And I moved apartments shortly after that because I couldn't stand to be in the place where we had been. And I blamed myself I cared for her exactly as she wanted. I cared for her at home. I didn't understand at the time how much of a gift I had given both her and myself and what I was to receive as a result of that. But I didn't find at that time that I wanted to live. I wanted to die, and I didn't. So basically, I lay on apartment floors without moving, only to do very basic things. I did not feed myself unless I was like starving. I would go 3 or 4 days without eating something, and then I would have to go buy something. Without just basically just lying there on the floor, reviewing my life, trying to find out if there was a reason why I should live. And I would get all the way through my life, all the way to the end of my life, and I would realize that nothing had changed and that I needed to die. About times in that year and a half, I visited a hospital and put myself in a mental ward, and about the last time I did that, I realized as soon as the doors had closed behind me, which means I was in there for 72 hours minimum, that the answers that I needed were not inside. They were inside me. They were not inside those rooms. There was no one in that facility who understood anything about what I needed. So that's one type of challenge. The type of challenge can be a health challenge. And basically, you're isolated, and you have what I would call time alone with your God, because your soul is your God. Or at least that's what I believe. Your soul creates your universe and everything in it for you to walk an experience, for you to have an experience. So there are some experiences that are isolated with no other actions going on. Very, very single purpose, very much retreat of where you set a one issue, do one thing. I'm just sort of having a thought that when you're with other people, you're isolated as well. So maybe all experiences and all challenges are sort of the same thing, except they appear differently, or you're working on different skills when you're quote unquote with other manifested beings. Of course, you manifest yourself. It's very difficult to understand whether other people that you have manifest have souls. I kind of think they do. I kind of think we're in a community. I kind of think that's the kind of interaction space that we're in. But I'm not going to deal with that tonight. So the one issue isolation retreats are literally you are considering one riddle, and that one riddle has you paralyzed. You can't move unless you solve that riddle. You are paralyzed. You are considering one riddle because you have an obstacle in front of you, and you have to remove that obstacle, and nothing else functions. Your life is completely non-functional without solving that riddle. So that's one type of challenge. Another type of challenge is one in which you're going to create an installation. You're going to create a facility. You're going to create a society. You're going to create a movement. You're going to create... That is something that has a course, that has something that starts as nothing. Has something that starts as a vision of what you want. I want this garden. I want this society. Maybe you don't even know what it is you want in that society, but somehow you have some feelings of framework of what you want. And this can also feel impossible. So in that challenge, you can have you can make it less of an omnibus. You can make it less of a unapproachable obstacle, because the riddle that you had is completely unapproachable. I'm reminded of a Buddhist riddle koan, and I'm just having this interesting insight that the riddle that I was basically considering for 18 months was indeed something like a koan, and during that 18 months, or the place that I put myself, was literally, I locked myself in a mental room and said, you are left here to consider only this, and you cannot leave this room until you figure this out. The key is gone. You will create the key from your solution, and when you figure it out, the door will just open naturally and you can leave. So that's one type of situation. The other type of situation is one where you don't have you might have some part of the framework that you don't understand. You have sort of, okay, this is just a lot of work. And then you're going to discover things along the way, where the other one is basically just thinking about a question until you make a connection, and you just in a finger snap at some point in your concentration and focus on the issue, you figure it out. Or you sit there until you do figure it out. In the other challenge, you can break it down into basically having an approachable plan. And you can say, I'm planning to do this. I'm planning to have an economy so that, or I'm planning to get advice from this teacher who can tell me how to do this task that I need to do in a more effective way, or do one of many things. So within that type of approachable challenge, you can have goals, and then you can look at those goals and you can plan. Or you can just say, well, I need to go find work in order to support my my hobby that is my long-term goal. And so you go find work so you can afford to live, so you can keep your vision running as it gets up to speed while you're waiting for whoever it is to tell you how to run your business, so that it can actually be something that is returning more and more income to you, and you can decrease the amount that you're working in the other fields. If you might like those other fields, so you might keep those on as something you're learning from. So it's during this progress, it's during the small steps and the incrementally really tough progress, you're remembering who sacrificed for you and who helped you out, or remembering what events happened that pushed you in a certain direction. And keeping track of those small steps and keeping track of your progress is one good way to not lose sight of the fact that you're making progress. And when you do make progress, even if you can't afford a token celebration of some sort, even if you can't afford something out of the ordinary to put on your table or something out of the ordinary, you need to have some kind of a celebration. You need to find time or find a little bit of space to celebrate that you actually are moving forward and you are taking steps in the direction of your vision. Because it's not something I'm not going to say, hey, you're taking steps in the right direction, because there is no right direction. You're taking steps in the direction that you want to go. So what this is all encased within is this is encased within the recognition that you can accomplish anything you want to. Well, you need to basically say, this is where I want to go. It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter what is required. All that is matter is that you plan, but overall that you encase it in a an inexhaustible supply of patience, and an inexhaustible supply of patience is created by willpower, and the willpower that I have, the way I my willpower is to myself, or the way that I perspective that I use is this society, this place in which we live, is how this society is run, has no adventures in it that I want to take. So the only place that I want to adventure is in the vision that I'm creating. So I have no need for television. I have no need for movies. I have no need for beer. I have no need for fancy clothing. I have no need for cars. Possibly just to get myself around and do my business. I have no need for the things other than what I have at my hand right now. And I'd like to grow my business to the point where I did have a vehicle, but what I have now basically echoes into my perspective on this society with its very incredibly disappointing construction. Is just echoes within me, my need to create an emerging forest where I can live. And basically look at yourself and you say, well, you don't want anything that's out there. You have to go make your own. That makes you basically a monk, a fanatic. I don't know. I don't know what it makes me. But it makes me someone, I mean, a monk can go belong to any monastery and find solace in being in that monastery. I can't find solace in being in that monastery. They all teach bullshit. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in worshiping the sun. Because it's not 93 million miles away. I'm not interested in worshiping the stars. They're painted on the ceiling. We're not on a planet. And everybody's walking around with their head in an illusion. They're supposed to have their head in illusion. perfectly fine for them to have their head in an illusion. My head's in my own illusion. I need something else. I don't need an explanation, but I don't need dying oceans and dying soils and dying trees and poorer and poorer nutritional foods every single year. That leads to a lessening fertility and less opportunities to express yourself and less opportunities to be with fertile teachers who present more possibilities, not less possibilities. So in the second half of the show, after the break, which is coming, I will probably talk about something else, but we'll find out what that's going to be when I actually get to it. Thank you for listening to this first half hour of the last August show in 2018. And for your listening pleasure, here's Darv the Bard, Green and Gray.
The 1st of May, a man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm father to man. I have been was Lord of Animals, the Wild High. untie lead. Until your God came here and with his jealous hand, it was he who wanted dominion over this land. For I'm no devil. Said if evil is where it lies in the hearts of man, but you lead us, oh, you tempt us to rape, to steal, to kill. The piper said, whatever happened to free will? Then the grove lay empty, the priest told no one. The blossom lay upon the thorn, and the piper's tune was done. And in the sunlit forest, the animals they bow, as the piper laid his goddess down. For I'm no devil, I'm father to the land. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor
to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, I guess I can start that over. So, I was just off the air. That's too bad. So, in the first segment, I talked about two types of challenges. One is the challenge in which you are basically thinking about a single issue, and the second challenge is the one in which you are thinking about accomplishing a goal. So the first thing is the monk goes into the cave and gets food pushed in and his waste removed by unseen hands. and just thinks about one issue. And nothing else happens in his life until he figures that issue out. I've seen that happen in quote-unquote non-isolated Buddhist culture, in which the master gives the student a koan, a riddle, to think about, and the acolyte goes and thinks about these things while conducting his regular life, and all of a sudden he has an aha moment and solves the riddle and talks to the master when he meets them in weekly practice, and then he moves on to the next koan. Maybe he'll have a rest period, or she'll have a rest period, and then move on to the next koan. So, in this practice, this cycle of life, is encased in something interesting. And I talked about it a little bit in the first half hour. The more you can be kind to yourself, the more you can love your own cause, the more you can look at other people and say, that person's helping me, I'll put up with them, the more the more you can get out of your own way and say, that is, instead of exploding on something, basically saying, overall, that helps my cause. It is just a minor annoyance. Then you can begin to appreciate your cause, and then you can begin to love it. Even other quirks about your own self that you never thought you would be able to accept. So it's being able to, like in my life, I worked with a really good painting boss who happens to smoke. And for him so much that I'm willing to accept he's a cigarette smoker and that I'm going to breathe some portion of smoke during the day. Now, I never thought that I would be able to do that. But I like working for that person enough where I'm willing to put up with that. And it's the same. My goal is more important than momentary or non-momentary distress, or something that I would basically have said, I'm not willing to put up with this, I'm not willing to put myself in that situation. Because I constantly remember everyone who has helped me get here, in large ways and in small ways, in all ways. No small way was a small amount for that person at that time. They'll continue to sacrifice for me and make a space for me. I am not willing to not accomplish my goal, my goals. And I guess from many perspectives, or even from my own perspective, looking at myself, thought I would turn into someone like this, someone who basically wants to accomplish something that is what going to create a place in the society that doesn't exist right now. It's going to create a place that's actually counter to the way that society is run. And it's also going to be somewhat aggressive society. It needs to be aggressive in order not to be stamped out by the present stupid society, which is just fine and dandy, but it's not for me. So I look at the Ram men of this world as being, they call themselves, Rammers of men. So it's been a long path, although it hasn't been that many years. And I hope in some way my talking about my experience and my talking about my looking and feeling into the mathematics of how the challenges work. Because I know that people have challenges like mine, and I know that people have challenges where they just like, you're in bed for a year, and then all of a sudden nobody knows why it passes, but it passes. You figured something out, or you had a period of time in which you were delving deeply into things in which other people just don't understand. Maybe people don't understand what I'm talking about. But then there's the mathematical, the approachable challenge. And I hope that people can listen to the experiences that I have and say, hey, I had an experience like that, or get something out of what I'm saying. So in the last quarter hour tonight's show, I'd like to read a post that I wrote that my good friend shared. And it's probably one of the things that caused me to make this tonight's show the topic that I did. It goes like this. The fallow periods of your eternal existence are there for you to recover or to see some pattern. But the action is when your life is uprooted and dirt and branches fly everywhere. You retain the parts of your tree that you had, but not the connection to the root. Those are gone. You cut yourself off enough, there will be an inner seeking, and you will ask yourself in misery, why? But we knock ourselves down so we can get up, and so we can observe ourselves getting up and getting up. Getting up so we can fall hopelessly in love with ourselves, our forward foolish actor, our offstage soul who eats and builds, called heaven by this culture. Life is about carrying the stress, carrying a million tasks, seeing over the edge of your life and laughing at your own death. You mad people out there. You do not care about today and how you got here, but care so deeply that you will burn your own house to make yourself move. There is nowhere in all the action sets of all eternity that is not once safe. to cut off all your ways to live. Look at what deeply attracts your desire. Move now. I think that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. And it is the arrival at the place where you love yourself. The place where you love yourself without condition. You love yourself when society hates you. You love yourself when society loves you. You love yourself when society wants to hunt you down and chases you with torches. You run ahead of them or you face them or whatever you need to do. You just smile and you say, I am on my path. You smile on your deathbed. I am on my path. You smile at the dinner table. You smile reading from the garbage can. You smile when you're in the gutter. You smile when you're in the pet house. I am on my path. Life, you are on your path. You are always on your path. You are always in bliss. You are always on your path. You are always having experience with heaven. You are always trust-rich. You are always healthy, but you are always on your path. There is no time at which you are unhealthy. There is no time at which you are diseased. There is no time at which you are a sinner. There is no time at which you are evil. Because you are on your path. And your soul put you on that path. There is no time at which you are a drunk. There is no time at which you are an addict. There is no time at which you are a pervert. Because you are a blissful monk. Having an experience, you need to have your soul. So, beyond notions of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I will meet you there. Remain. Place that you are right now, God circled on a map for you. Happy. Emotions. Emotions of society are meaningless. Anger is meaningless. Everything is meaningless. They push you in a direction or another direction, but they're meaningless. The only thing we have for everything is love. And say, I love my vision more than I love their vision, but you love their vision because their vision is part of the overall construct. Their vision is fine. You just love your vision more, and you'll fight for your vision. You'll fight against their vision. But let's not say that they're wrong. They have a different vision than you do. Not hate someone else. Let's say, I love your vision, but I love mine more.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
And agree with most of that. It's the first time I've ever used the peace prayer. It's the 1 minute break on SRUN. SURN. Yes, SURN. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. Thanks to everyone who called in. Yeah, all zero of you. Thank you, Dave Miller, for having such a wonderful weekend at your retreat. Thank you, Christy Shepherd, for sharing your week with me, for hugging your cat and hugging your redwood at the same time. Thank you to Christy Perry in Maine, Pennsylvania. Thank you to my roommates for putting up with me doing radio shows in their apartment, in our apartment. Thank you to Carrie and Robin for giving me the training and space to have this wonderful opportunity. And I'm so grateful to have them been able to support Dave Miller's projects. And Permajam's projects and other people's projects in the past and in the future, and also to have had great guests on like Laurie Tagno and Samantha Cook, and Stuart Hopp. And many, many other, friends in my neighborhood, like Gina Renzi from the University of Penn, and I just can't wait to see what's coming next. I'm so psyched. What's coming next? Well, let's do some hard work now and get what's coming next. Not really as a result of hard work now, but sort of as a result of hard work now. I'm Alan Ritter. This has been Sunday Night on an Emerging Forest, talking about challenges. I run a small produce club in the southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey area called The Produce Club, how original. And what we do is we buy wholesale produce from just over the river in the Port of Philadelphia. It happens to be quite a bit cheaper in price than is sold at local supermarkets. And if it gets further discounted, say it's an odd lot or date due or happens to go, oh my gosh, right on them, then I get a really, really, really good deal. And I'm able to change people's lifestyles because I couldn't afford fresh produce, fresh organic produce, because it was just, you know, going to Whole Foods was killing my budget. And now I can afford fresh organic produce even on a very, 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 even at way below poverty level, I can afford fresh organic produce. So I can be contacted, talk about being on this program. I can be contacted, talk about the Produce Club at my email address, which is RITTER.ALAN, the number 8 again, at gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and my overall engage your passion message rings true in this program, like it rings true in every single other program I've ever had on this station. Do what you need. Don't do what anybody else tells you to do. Don't do what society tells you to do. Do what is in your heart. Engage what is in your heart. Engage as much of your time as you can possibly afford. And if you can't afford it, do something to be able to do your passion as much as you need to do your passion. That's what you're here to do. You are that person that everyone else is waiting for. You get moving and just make the whole thing work. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in September.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.